PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the Original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me last minute this week is Mr. Josh Babbitt. You may find his work over on the THP Anything. He's all over the place on social and on the forum. He happens to kind of run the place. Josh, welcome back, buddy.
It's good to be here. It's been a while.
It has been a minute. You've been dodging me, I think.
I think so, yeah. I try to.
I mean, you're not busy, not like moving or PGA
show. It's been a little
bit
of a chaotic last 6 months.
Well, the cool part is I think the madness is kind of chilled out a little bit, but the excitement for THPers changes now because THP events schedule, cycle, whatever you want to call it, is kind of like just about to really kick off. You guys just had a great event, and we've got one coming up together actually in a couple weeks, so that's pretty exciting. You have to
and
be pumped.
We hit the nuts and bolts of it with lots of them.
Yeah. Well, you have to be excited because like all that work that goes into it, you finally get to have a little bit of fun instead of all the planning, dealing with the madness that goes along behind the scenes with all the stuff. It's got to be great.
It is. And there's a level of fulfillment while also having a level that's really humbling that, you know, we're getting ready, you and I, to go to an event where the people get there and they have a full bag of clubs waiting for them. And we do a lot of cool things on THP, and maybe some of it gets taken for granted, or taken for granted is not really the right word or phrase, but more kind of pushed aside. But imagine before we were part of this community, going to a golf course, showing up, meeting the people who make the clubs, and oh yeah, here's a full bag of clubs, go have fun. Like, those things didn't happen. And I'm not going to be the person who takes credit for that. It's the work of our partners, but like, it's pretty cool to sit back and take a look at.
Well, I mean, it's a collection of everything, right? Like, it doesn't come out of nothing. It comes out of a lot of hard work and years of refining the process and learning what works and what doesn't. And here's an interesting question to really get you started, since we're about to enjoy, at least from a forum perspective, how these things come together. Do you feel like there's a level of refinement that has existed over the last decade? And are you happy with where it is now?
Yes, and I would call it even more than refinement. I mean, we went from, hey, let's get together and here's some swag, to let's put on things that nobody had ever dreamt of possible. And I can't do that alone without our partners. Like, you know, if people just want to get together and play golf, great. I'm happy for you. Go do that. But that's not what we're doing. There's definitely a level of refinement. And am I happy with where they are? And I hate asking myself a question and answering it. That's freaking brutal. But I'm happy with where they are. They can always be better, though. Mm. Always.
Well,
and that
comes
down to the little things, like the amount of time in between the second tee time and dinner. It's the little things that I'm constantly thinking about to make sure an itinerary is perfect.
Okay. Well, let's put it on an easier stage for the answer, because I know you're never satisfied. I mean, always curious to get better. But, you know, 10 to 12 years ago, you're driving down a major highway in an RV going to an event in Ohio, of all places, to be cold and be entertained by the variety of skills that exist up here in the Midwest. Did you ever think in your mind back then that you'd be even close to what it is right now from an events perspective?
Yes, I not only thought it, I knew it. But part of that was because there was an evolution process of working with the partners we have about where we had to go. Did I think it would be as good as they are now? No. I mean, we're talking about next level golf courses, incredible equipment, people behind the brands playing alongside them, and every one of them open book. You can find out anything you want. Like, it, I never thought they would get to here already.
Well, let's talk about the first one that's already gone down. It was with Titleist. It was a ball event, and the guys got to actually go through their fitting. It sounds like, based on what I was reading, you were getting double fitted at the time from a forum member as well as one of the brilliant minds at Titleist. But the guys kind of got everything. They got that firsthand experience with those who are directly involved in the brand itself. They got a fitting on an unbelievably cool range at Briggs Ranch. They got hats that will not be released to the public. Just like one of those little things that you think about, like that is so cool that they'll always have this little tiny piece that no one else will get to have alongside all these other things that are going on. And then, oh, hey, by the way, you're also going to get to play some pretty sick golf and eat some good food that I was not jealous at all of. So that's fine. You know, as I sit at home and eat a hot dog and some potato chips for lunch, you guys are...
I mean, you're in Ohio. I pretty much just assumed you guys drank ranch for each meal.
Yeah, you do assume I eat tendies and ranch a lot. I don't remember the last time I have, but I understand it's a safe meal. Might be the safest travel meal on the planet.
There's nothing safe about chicken tenders and ranch.
Really?
There's nothing safe about that.
I feel like anything that's deep fried...
Really?
I'm going to run that back a little bit.
Yeah.
You go to any menu aside from ordering like a peanut butter sandwich. What is safer than something that they throw in a fryer?
Pretty much literally everything.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not convinced. We've had this debate many times before. Of all the things we don't align with, we are like X store away from each other on food takes.
Yes.
That's not entirely good. But either way, it seemed like a really fun event. Titleist is a super fun partner to have, and they've done a number of them with us. What was that like firsthand with the guys, especially they have these balls, and what's cool about Briggs Ranch, if you're not familiar, those who are listening in, is they have this great driving range, but then right adjacent to it is a significant short game area with, I think you can chip up to like 75, 100 yards if you really wanted to. I guess it's not a chip, it's a full shot. And then they have this crazy deep bunker. So you take this fitting of like, are you a Pro V1 guy? Are you Pro V1X? That you have that option. And they're like, okay, by the way, now take these balls over to the practice area and see what you're getting around the green. That must have been really cool for the guys.
Yeah, you know, in the planning of this, and all praise goes to Jacqueline Duncan. For those who have been to an event and been with her, they know her. She takes this stuff pretty seriously. It started with the people from Titleist who were going to be there. And it was very important that we had a professional ball fitter, you know, a tour level ball fitter. We had a person behind product, meaning creation, so they could talk materials and science behind it and performance and tour. And then we had the senior VP of marketing. We wanted, so you have fit, creation, and the person that brings the product to market. And by having that, you get to open the doors of what is marketing, what is not, what is real and what isn't, what's performance and why. Let's talk construction. But going from a fitting where you're hitting, so the range at Briggs Ranch already has Pro V1 and Pro V1X balls as their range balls, but that wasn't good enough. They wanted to use brand new Titleist golf balls. And Briggs Ranch was nice enough to sort them for us afterward and deliver them back. You got fit for a ball. And then the next step was, let's go over to the short game area and hit a variety of shots to confirm that's what it is. But then it goes a step further. Hey, fitting is really important and fitting is great, but we want that ball played on the golf course. Let's take it on the golf course and let's have a consultation afterward to make sure it's still the right fit. So all those things were really, really interesting. From a performance nerd like myself, I found it incredibly interesting. And everybody just had a great time, which is the most important thing at the end of the day.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm always curious about with these, and I've been lucky enough to participate in a few and support our THP partners. I'm always fascinated to hear, like, do you feel overwhelmed by this? Is it like just a lot? And I feel like an event like this, where it's just pure education from something that's been around for a very long time in Pro V, you have the depth of knowledge that exists there. There's kind of two things that I think I'd be worried about. Number one, the level of overanalysis that's done by the individual.
Sure.
But then secondary to, like, and I'll give you an example. Everyone knows Pro V, right? Like, I would say it's one of, if not the most recognizable ball out there, and has been for a long time.
Yeah.
Certainly one of, that's fair. And I think everyone has their perspective on, well, I'm a Pro V1 guy. I'm a Pro V1X guy. I'm a left dot guy. but yeah, there he is. I found him. you get out there and you go through this fitting and suddenly it shifts a little bit. Now, you have the type of person that will combat it. You have the type of person who will go all in based on the feedback they're given. And you have the type of person who's afraid to ask the question, why?
So I'm curious about that.
Well, I'm curious about that. I know it's encouraged to ask these questions, but how often do you see someone who's just overwhelmed by the process and is just really afraid to dive in? And how often do you have someone who just asks way too many questions and drives a little crazy?
I think there's a little bit of both at every one, and we try not to have that. I don't think we have too many hand sitters in general. I do think there's a level of, man, I don't want to say something stupid. And they shouldn't be that way, but I think it's natural feeling that you're around experts, you don't want to embarrass yourself. And I think that's totally natural. So I take it upon myself to ask questions that they may not ask but want to know. The overanalysis person, I think, is definitely there, especially not as much in balls, because I think most people are pretty stupid about golf balls. They know enough to be about dangerous. And I made the comment about bro science multiple times in the golf ball thing. I only play urethane. I only play this many layers. You're an idiot. But I think that there's a level of overanalysis that'll take place. But it usually, from our audience anyway, comes from a good place. It's coming from the heart where they want to be educated because they know they're going to go back to our forum and get questions from others, and they want to share the right information.
Yeah, one of the things I noticed was the amount of effort that was coming back to the forum from all these crazy pieces of insight. And I have a question for you specifically, because you have a habit of being relatively strong at being able to provide the feedback to the forum through the event threads where, you know, these companies give us great information, but I don't want to say it's lost on the participants, but, you know, it's in that room. And unless you bring it to the forum or someone brings it to the forum, we sort of miss out on that. So
yeah,
one of the things I noticed was there was an awful lot of subtle tidbits or little bits of information you were lobbing at us all the way through the event.
Yeah.
Was there one piece that really stood out to you that you enjoyed bringing over?
There's a lot of them. But the one that I will tell me that stood out is one I didn't share.
Okay.
Because I hadn't figured out the best way to share it yet, which was, we have an assumption as golfers about golf balls. And we'll call them the marginally educated. And I don't mean that as a demeaning way, even though it might sound that way. That's not how it's meant. What I mean by that is you play golf, you probably read THP, you follow different websites on social media and things like that. And so, you know, hey, I only play a urethane covered ball. I like a firm compression ball because that means it's faster and spinnier, and I need those things. What if you found out tomorrow that that's not a black and white thing? What if you found out that, you know, for your game, swinging a two-piece, three-piece Serlin ionomer covered, easy for me to say, covered golf ball would spin just as much as the Pro V1X, and you found out from Titleist, so they're saving you money in that aspect. But what if you found that out? And I think that that's the part that was the most surprising to me, that I haven't figured out the best way to relay that to the forum yet, that you need to stop with the black and white aspects of it and either the Titleist would tell you, go get fit. I'm going to tell you, if you can do that or want to do that, that's wonderful. If you don't, go test. Try it for yourself.
I mean, testing is the ultimate prover, right? And I'll add that I think it directly impacts based on where you play. You know, different greens react in different ways. If you play in the same place all the time, just like wedges, you might not necessarily need the same ball reaction on the green or even in the fairway for that matter. If you're playing fast and firm, that's one thing. If you're playing soft, then it's a totally different experience from how the ball interacts. So, you know, the idea that it's one for everywhere or one for every person, like, I think there should be a bit of wiggle room there. I have a question for you. Do you buy into the idea of off-season golf balls? I know, not necessarily.
Absolutely. And I can actually back that up with science, because I've read so many things from different golf companies about weather changing and things like that and the effects. No, absolutely not. You should pick your golf ball however you want to pick it and play that same golf ball all the time.
Yeah. So in fairness, I didn't even get to say just on the account of weather, but also just like the idea of the impacts it may have on your overall swing speed or the turf interaction, the engagement that changes in the off season.
For what it's worth, those are all weather based.
Well, that's fair. But then the other part being, you know, not everyone wants to play the most expensive ball when they're out there playing. And I think that's probably what I've become, what I've believed to be the best argument for it is I'm not looking to play a premium golf ball when the experience and the weather isn't premium.
I can understand that. And I'm going to counter it for you real fast.
Okay.
The idea, and I've lived in the North and I've lived in the South, that, oh, you know, I swing slower with different layers, things like that. Your tendencies with the swing are not that different, though.
Mm-hmm.
So my recommendation for that person is, as you're playing golf throughout the year, take one golf ball after a round, even if it's brand new or whatever it is, and just put it aside. That's it. One golf ball each round, just put it aside. You're not going to play it. Then when the off season comes around, you have a full dozen there waiting.
Hmm. Interesting. I mean, you're welcome. I tend to just steal the wife's softer compression Sirlin covers and feel pretty good about myself. So,
yeah, seems appropriate that both theft and ill-fitting make sense for this one.
I think it's just more like a re-gift to myself because I originally gave her them. So,
no, that's not how that works.
Nothing? Dang. No. I thought I had something there. Well, anyways, it was a fun follow, and it's great to see. Titleist progressing the way they are. Did you find the experience pretty strong for the product they're bringing out? They have?
Yeah. I haven't been a Titleist golf ball person. I'm not against Titleist golf balls. I've played them, but I was fit for a different model. And, the product is really strong. The people behind the product are really strong. But, you know, we've talked about this before on the show, which is, I tend to get a little bit excited when the people are excited because sometimes you can tell a difference and you've been in those rooms before, you know, where they're talking about a product and you can see the genuine excitement. That's the case for Jeremy and Frederick. They were genuinely excited about this product.
I actually love those moments. I'll tell you when I don't is when they're talking about the following year that I don't even get to see. That's what makes me mad. We got a couple of friends in the industry who are quite guilty of that. But,
yes,
you know, I see it from fitters as well. When they have new product.
You guys see me ducking down. It's because I'm dog sitting right now and he's jumping on me.
I got dogs barking in the background. It just means we're good people, Josh. It's fine.
Yes.
Not just the people from the company, but even the fitters who are working with it. When you can get a sense from them, you could get a feeling that they're genuinely eager to talk about product, you know something good's happening. And it's hard to fake that.
Yeah, and I'll use an example that's a different brand, you know, switching gears. We're working with a lady at Strixon by the name of Amber Lynn. And I've met her on one or two occasions, and she's going to be the person who's coming to our Strixon event. The genuine excitement she has for this event right now behind the scenes makes me so excited to get there and host it. Like, it's incredible.
Awesome.
And like you, when there's this genuine excitement about a product, I just get excited. I'm still a golf nerd at heart.
So I think that's amazing. One of the things that is curious to me there, I feel like Strixon has a bit of an identity of having a difficult time getting clubs connected to a significant number of people, at least in my region. You obviously being the head of the THP have allowed people to come together and engage and provide feedback on product that some folks might not necessarily have locally or get to experience and create that excitement for it. So when it comes to, and we don't even need to use Strixon as an example here. I think Zexio would be a really curious example because there was that like big trend with that for a while. But the idea that we can bring this conversation to the forefront on these products, which I'm expecting to be very high quality based on the last couple iterations, and be able to drive that conversation to the forum. Like that has to feel good. And does this give you a different sort of feeling coming out like that with an event?
It does. Let me rewind. A number of years. It's not forgotten on me that THP as a website launched Srixon as a product. We were the first website or media outlet ever to have Srixon products once they became what they are now. Obviously, before they had Japan models and they came over here a little bit. But the Srixon that everybody knows now, we were the first website, online forum community to ever have Srixon products in the United States. We had them 7 months before embargo date at an event we were hosting. At the time, it was in Myrtle Beach. And people, it was like a forbidden fruit. Like nobody knew what to do or talk about.
Right.
The brand has grown a lot since then. And they are, I still kind of think people view them as an iron company. And I think you're probably right. There's a bit of an identity crisis there because it's really hard, especially people don't believe me when I say this, but golf marketing teams are way smaller than people think. Like they assume that you go to these headquarters and there's like an entire floor dedicated to marketing departments. And it's normally two or three people, you know? It's hard when you have Cleveland, Srixon, Zexio, Asics, Never Compromise, and I'm missing one. That's a lot of SKUs to put marketing behind.
Sure.
And, you know, some of those products get lost in the shuffle, I think. And they shouldn't. Srixon makes an incredibly high quality product.
And that's kind of the problem is they shouldn't, but it's inevitable, man. I think it's one of the things that would be interesting to talk about is the amount of quality product that exists right now seems to increase, like the pool of options increases every year, not just from what's available, but like the really high quality options that are available to golfers seems to increase. What do you feel like the last 5 years even, or maybe the last 10, but more specifically the last five, has really bolstered options for golfers?
Yes. Let me say that with a caveat. Not all companies have gotten significantly better over the last 5 years, and I'll leave it at that. With that said, this year, I've been doing this for 17 years. This year is the strongest product drop, as I'll call it, head to toe, that I've ever seen in golf, and it's not close.
Wow.
The amount of and I'll go, you know, we were having a conversation on the forum community about combo sets, and I'm not going to get into that because Dan's a weirdo, but
that's fair.
The idea of lacking precision in a game improvement iron and game enhancement and players iron, that those lines are so blended now, it's insanity. The work that's being done on faces and irons is the best I've ever seen, and it's not close. I mean, I've seen data showing balls hit a full inch away from the center, a full inch towards the toe, and going the same distance, same height, same spin that you're going to get hitting it on the button. That's never been able to be done before. Like, that's insane. Drivers, they're incredible.
Well, what's interesting to me is the different ways that companies go about it. I think, you know, there's a lot of discussion that goes along, probably more in the putter space than anywhere else, about like theft of ideas or recreations or whatever you want to call it. But what I like about, especially like irons and drivers, is, I mean, sure, companies are talking about the same thing, but they're going about it in their own way, and they're finding solutions in their own way, which I think is incredibly interesting.
There's definitely a signature mark from designers and brands on irons, more so than other places. And that's an interesting way of putting it, because you're right. What's an interesting idea is you look back at everybody 10 years ago on THP. Oh, they're all the same. It's all marketing. You buy what brand you like. At that time, we hosted an event, and the question was posed to Ping about, why don't you have carbon fiber crowns? Everybody else had gone that route 8 years ago, 6 years, whatever it was. And they were like, oh, we've done some testing, and we haven't perfected that model. They actually talked about the crowns popping off when they were doing testing, which makes no sense at all. But that's neither here nor there. Fast forward, all the brands that we had said, hey, they were kind of getting left behind, have caught up. I mean, they've all gone that route. They've all gone carbon fiber. They've all gone that route. They've all gone lighter club head weights in general. So they were behind, but they're not now. And that's what makes it such an intriguing year for releases. Ping even caught up. I mean, they were slow and spinny, but still high quality product. They've caught up. Srixon's drivers and metal woods this year, phenomenal. Mizuno's last line, that ST Max might be the most underrated driver that's come out in a number of years. The Callaway Elite line is about as good as anything I've ever tried in the space. Ed, how could I forget Dark Speed Adapt, which literally changing the game in fitting and telling people you don't have to go see a fitter if you don't want to. You should, but you don't have to. Here's an app, hit some balls, and let's figure out what's best for you. Like, we're talking about a year that there's things that aren't being discussed enough that should be.
Well, what's interesting about what you just described is the depth has increased significantly. And I say that with all love and respect to some of these companies, is that they're not known for certain things. And when you come out and say, well, their metal woods this year, their drivers, their woods, their hybrids are exceptionally good. You're not even saying that by comparison to what they've dropped in the past. It's competitively in the market. And I think that's one of the things that I felt like was lacking for a while there was wood diversity. I mean, we had irons for days for a long time, but it's like the woods and a lot of companies are really catching up there.
Yeah. We just tested one recently from Toredge, the Exotics, the latest line. I couldn't believe how good that driver was. It also cost half as much as what every other driver does, brand new for what it's worth. There are a lot of options, but here's the part that I just love this year more than anything. If you have a brand you love, they have a driver for you. You don't have to say, oh, well, I need to test it. If you like a brand, if you're affiliated with a brand in some way, you know, emotionally attached somehow, they have a product for you. You're not giving up a sacrifice. Are there products out there that are better than others? Yes. Like, it's not even close. But you can have the choices that exist and still find something you want in your lane. If it's budget, let's say you have a budget of a little less than what everybody else is charging for a driver. You have some great options there. The Mizuno ST Max is phenomenal. The Exotics that I just mentioned, phenomenal. They're half the price of some other ones. So whatever lane you're in, you don't have to say, well, I'm going to wait till next year. And I'm not saying that as a sales pitch. I get paid nothing if something is sold. I wish I did. But the products that are out this year are the best I've ever seen across the board for a wide spectrum, and it's not close.
Should we talk about the elephant in the room?
Sure. I have gained weight. Thank you for noticing.
Definitely that, obviously. Yeah. I thought everyone could see that since we're video now and incredibly important. The thing I'd love to talk to you about, which we sort of teased last time, was that ShotScope is definitely happening this year.
I know. I sent one to you.
And I have received a unit.
Okay. How long ago have you received this unit, Dan?
I live in Ohio, dude. Time stands still from November to March.
You have played golf, though.
I played golf in a simulator.
No, you've been out there once or twice.
Actually, truth be told, I went out for 9 holes with my son last night.
Is the ShotScope attached and working?
It is not. But I have a round this weekend, and they will be attached, no doubt about it. Because I'm more curious than I am concerned at this point.
Let me give the audience some foreshadowing of what's going to happen.
You can't even say without laughing. You've been trolling me all day on the forum. I don't know why.
The end of this movie is going to be one of those pick your adventures where Dan has this thing of I can keep going down this path and because I know it's going to work, or I'm going to light this thing on fire. It's going to be one of those two things. But the first round, there will be frustration. It might miss one or two shots. He's getting used to it. The second round, it's going to pick up everything. And Dan is going to look like he was paralyzed because he was shot when he starts going through the data. The third round, he'll start diving in a little bit and be like, oh, son of a bitch, I was wrong about all this.
Yeah.
By the fourth round, he's like, oh shit, like this is really good. By the fifth round, it's second nature.
Well, my goal right now is to not have an opinion. And there were a couple of shots early on.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, I know. Listen, dude, this is my show. Okay. Relax. There were a couple of shots where like I did a three quarter or hit into the wind or, you know, hit with the wind. I will get over that. That I think is one of my biggest fears is picking a shot based on the results that it'll send.
But that's why you're not basing your data on one round.
I know. I was presetting my brain to not worry about stuff like that. Okay.
This is the most. Bear with me, buddy.
Bear with me. But it is happening, and I'm really excited about it. I'm genuinely excited about it because we are constantly talking about on THP like getting better or things you need to work on or conversations about expectations on proximity to the hole. Those are all things I would love to reference my own data with rather than just having a strong opinion based on what I believe my experience is. So I think as much as I'm doing it for exploration and wanting to be a part of the great partnership that ShotScope has with us and our community, I also want to just improve my conversation points with it. I think having that information will be great.
Here's another $1 million question. You said you're playing this weekend.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks.
Oh you God, you're going to ask about a driver, aren't you?
No, full set of clubs coming your way.
Okay.
What are you going to do? You going to reset all the badges and put in all the, or reset all the things and put it in the equipment? Or are you just going to wait for the Strixon clubs?
No, I'll reset it. I don't think there's anything. I think it's nice if I can get a couple rounds in before I head out to Briggs. It'll be great to have that experience in hand. And and obviously the second I get there and we all geek out about our new products that we've never seen in hand before, the first thing that I'm going to do is get them all connected. Well, that's not true. The first thing I'm going to do is going to take them to the range if I can, because like let's be obsessed for like 20 minutes, please. And then, around the fire, maybe later, I'll get them all dialed up.
Yeah, I think you're going to enjoy them. You've never really not liked the Strixon product. And most of the testing we've done always kind of fallen back. The sound profile fits, the shaping fits, everything else. ShotScope, if you actually follow through with this, and I still have my doubts,
you would.
If you actually follow through with this, I think you're going to end up really liking it from the standpoint of you love the game as much as anybody I know from a playing standpoint. It will make you better. Like, it will. We're fortunate on the THP forum. We have a direct connection with the people at ShotScope that if you say, listen, here's my data, what can I work on here? You're going to get an answer from the people who are not only pretty good at golf, but also understand this data better than anybody.
So it's not even anecdotal either. I mean, we have the ShotScope, the data experience, which is unreal. And they go through and provide like line level detail for each participant, which is a wild ride for anyone who's involved. But that's not even what I'm going to reference here. Cause it kind of just sounds like we're obsessing over the product and saying like, oh, hey, they're on the forum, whatever. So I started a thread this past week, which created a lot of buzz on a Saturday night about what matters more, your tee game and approach game or your wedge game, like greenside wedge game and putting, and like kind of like that chicken or the egg type of conversation. And by the time I woke up, I think on Sunday or Monday, Gavin at ShotScope came in and offered up possibly looking into it from a data perspective, which I thought was awesome. So
and I can tell you that the Skyfisters were out in full force to disagree with everything that the data points at. Like, it's just, it's never ending.
Well, I just think it's great that we have that access, but then they also really make that connection. So, you know, we'll see what comes of that.
Can I tell you a funny story about the data experience coming up, since it's coming up really soon?
I mean, I guess so.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, Gavin and Jen, they come from Scotland to play in this with TH Piers. They're pretty good at golf. Jen's a professional. She won last year. The whole forum was cheering her on. Gavin Deer was one of the best players in the world, played in the Walker Cup, did all those things. Well, we had a newer member who I don't think had any idea who Gavin was. And he's on the plus handicap side, literally like throwing daggers before he got in or right when he got in about, you know, I'm taking him down. I can't wait to meet you back there at the tips, blah, blah, blah. And I think he looked it up because like the backpedaling is Rory level. It's phenomenal. Poor Gavin comes in. He never even plays golf, shows up one time a year, does things that shouldn't be done to a golf ball. And poor Montana lefty Jeff there. I don't think the words have changed quite a bit since I think he figured out who Gavin was. He's on my team, and I want to win.
Remind me, is this one at Vic, Victoria National?
It is. It's at Victoria National.
That's what I thought. And I think this is a really, really great place to have something like this because they will have months to prepare the right way. And the data will be spitting out, you need to work on this. Victoria is a hard golf course.
Yes.
You can't hide your failures or your in.
So for those listening, last year I was leaving Victoria National and Dan sent me a text message and said, "Hey, I'm going to Victoria National." You had a friend who had an in to play there. And after the round, I'm driving all the way back to, at the time, Nashville. I'm driving and I just get a text message and it just says, "Holy shit, that place."
It's cool, man.
I mean, it is an unbelievable golf course.
It is wonderful when you're playing well. It is unbelievably cruel when you're not. It is hilarious to watch other people succeed or fail on. But at the same time, it is golf in its purest form. I think they did a beautiful job with the property. It was really weird for me to not go inside and have a great big dinner and hang out. But it was really fun to see that property. I can't wait to follow along. Any time an event happens at Vic, it's worth following just to see how people react to it.
And you know, the property can play very differently from how they cut the rough. If the rough is low, which it will be for the data experience, I have a feeling.
That's too bad.
Sad trombone, I know. it can be playable. If it's really high, I've watched scratch golfers shoot 85 there.
Yeah. Well, it happens quickly. I mean, you take one risk, you hit one bad shot, and your round starts to spiral really fast.
And it does ease you into it, too, because holes 1, 2, and 3 aren't really all that difficult.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. They can be. Well, when you get up on 2... when we played 2, we played 18 and then another 9. We got up on the second 9 on number 2, and there was a guy in a kayak in the water to the left, and we're all looking at this guy like, does he know? Does he have any idea how dangerous this is?
So and for those course, that don't know, hole number 2, number 1 is not really, it's pretty much straightforward. Number 2
downhill,
is it's straight hole with water down the entire left, trouble on the right. And a little bit, you probably have 140 yards to clear to actually reach the fairway. But it's technically, for long hitters, a drivable par 4. It's probably 305 yards or so.
Safety play is something out to the middle. Kind of bunt it out there to have a good full shot over a really, especially if the pin's on the right side, which is a brutal bunker. You're kind of playing for position off the tee. But it kind of sits up. You're up, and then down way below is this water that is just menacing off to the left. It encourages you to hit right, which of course there's trouble right on the fairway.
Yeah, I've watched some big numbers on that hole. If you're listening to this and not seeing video, I urge you to go look up Victoria National hole 2. It's a pretty cool golf hole. One of my favorites on the entire property because I've made multiple birdies on that hole, but I also had a 10.
Well, you know, the point I was going to say about that hole is things changed a lot when there was someone in play in the water off to our left. You know, the mental game there has to be strong, and if it's not, you're going to struggle. Is there a hole out there? I feel like we talked about this maybe last year, but I think the most memorable hole for me there, the one I'd love to go back and play again, was 17. I just really loved the way it set up off the tee. They kind of hit up to the green that almost had a linksy overseas vibe. And then you get to see the whole golf course when you're done with it. I thought that was really cool.
So true story. None of my matches have gone to 17. Win or lose.
Hold on.
Yeah. Win or lose. I've never played 17 or 18 in competition. I have played them before. 2 is my favorite hole on the property for exactly what we were discussing about. But the last 4 holes, the gauntlet, as they call it, I've literally watched somebody take the net max, which for us in our events is triple bogey, on all 4 holes because they're not even sniffing the green at that point.
Yeah.
There's trouble everywhere on those holes.
15 is brutal. 14 is brutal, really. Yeah.
13 has comfort station.
You need the comfort station to finish your round at that point. Oh, man. Dang it. I was just going to ask you something, and I totally – I got it. So you've played these –
This is riveting.
Thank you. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.
Pound that like button or whatever they say.
So a lot of these events come with multiple rounds. I would say all of them come with multiple rounds. How many times have you seen Vic specifically – someone like no brain it on the first one, like dead brain, kind of get through it, not realizing all the challenges, kind of like skidding by, and then they go a second time and just get mauled by it because they know it's there.
I don't think I've seen it yet, because I think when you're coming to a property like this, you've already looked it up and you're already a little weird.
Okay.
But
you know what I'm talking about though, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is a story. There was a gentleman by the name of Britt from Mizuno who was with us at one of these there. And he's a really, really good player. And he kind of tried to bomb and gouge his way around the course. To give you an example, on two, he hit into the water and then drove the green and made the putt for par. So he tried to play it that way.
Okay.
And I think through the first four or five holes, you can kind of do that. But then the course just sets up and starts eating your lunch. I mean, nine is just a bear of a golf hole if you're not safe off the tee. It's just a bear of a golf hole.
I think the problem with a couple of those holes in the front nine is they are close enough to where you're really curious as to how far you can take your driver and how much you can push it. I mean, there are at least three holes in that golf course I can think of that encourage you to be stupid. But nine is a great example, because even if you roast two of them and you're up front, it's not an easy shot from there. Like,
no.
Getting it into the belly is not a good play.
Nope.
Like, if you hit that long at all, like that touch shot, you're in the water.
Yeah, we are heading there for a few events this year, a handful actually, and there are going to be some extremely large numbers there. And listen, I'm here for it. As long as they have fun, I'm good with it. But there's going to be some large numbers.
And I'll be on the forum heckling the entire time. So
yes, you will be.
Certainly encouraging, but heckling as well.
Yeah.
Fun show today, buddy. It's nice to get you on. You need to stop being a stranger on here.
Yeah, I'll come on. You just have to invite me. I've never invited.
Like normally, I know we lean on the guest to be the big draw, but who do they pick when it's just you and me?
Yeah, that's true. probably you.
Well, I can't wait for Strixon Experience.
So I got to say one more thing, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is dropping on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
In just a few days, we have sign up for an event at Grable.
Okay.
With Golf Tech.
I've heard good things about Grable.
It's the finest facility I've ever been to in my life. It's with Golf Tech.
Okay.
It's also with Adam Rank from the NFL Network.
Gotcha.
And we're going to do fantasy football meets golf instruction meets everything, and do it at literally my favorite golf course I've ever stepped foot on in my life.
Wow. That sounds like a can't miss
experience. It's going to be unreal.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, you might have to sign up for that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't typically fare well with RNG, but, you know, it's one of those ones. Grable's big on the list. So is Arbor Lake.
Could you go to Golf Tech? Could you go through lessons?
Could I? I would love to, yeah. Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. You know what?
Interesting.
I've learned a lot about myself for the last couple of years.
I got an idea.
Okay. What's your idea?
You should be in this event with me.
Okay.
And you have to document your Golf Tech process afterward.
Interesting. I wonder.
We should ask the audience. We'll ask them if they think you should go through it.
Okay.
If they say no, then you don't get in.
Well, they say no. I don't. I don't think I'm ready for that. Yeah, I got to be a little bit sweeter on the forum then for the next.
Yeah, start kissing some ass.
A bit sassy lately.
Yeah, kiss some ass and shake babies or whatever you're supposed to do. I don't think you're supposed to shake them.
Yeah. No, that's why you're not allowed.
It does make them quiet though.
That took a turn.
If the forum thinks you should go through lessons at Golf Tech and document your progress, I think that would be pretty cool. So
yeah.
We'll leave it up to them. If they say you should do it, you should be in the event. And if they say no, then no.
Yeah. The only thing more entertaining than me in a Golf Tech lesson would be me trying to convince Adam Rank at how good I am at fantasy football.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to convince him of that.
Oh, man. That Kelsey pick last year ate at my soul the whole time. What a disaster.
You know what that's called?
Disappointment.
Karma.
karma. Oh, dude, yeah. I was going to say it, but I felt like just shitting myself a little bit more. Yeah,
it's why called not? Karma.
Buddy, okay, thank you for coming
on. Closing out the show.
Yeah, super fun. We covered some pretty interesting things. It certainly seems like this is the year to go try product. Don't just listen to what you hear online. Everywhere has an option to hit. Go hit it. And I think take that conversation to the forum. Take it to our socials. We'd love to hear what your perspective is. I'm definitely curious to see who the big winners are this year from all the great content we've been reading on the homepage. So, yeah, go do that. And if you want to come heckle me at the Cirxon Experience, we'll have a conversation on the forum for that whole thing coming up at the end of the month. Apparently, I'll have some new shoes beforehand as well. But yeah, either way, if you guys are playing golf this weekend, have fun. Enjoy the start of the real golf season, which happens now in the Midwest. And if you are playing with a buddy, make sure you're telling them they're good at golf. They really probably need to hear it. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks, buddy.
Now it's time to send it over to Don Brown for this week's Shaft Education, brought to you by True Temper.
Hey, students. Back in session, Shaft University. I'm Don Brown. Today's question is about lightweight materials and if it makes new lighter weight shafts more viable. On the steel side, we can get a little bit lighter, but with steel, because we only have one modulus we're working with any steel material, if we get a lot lighter, we're going to get softer. So making a 50 gram shaft, if we can make it durable, it would be an absolute noodle. So getting a lot lighter there probably doesn't make sense for a lot of the market. Graphite's a completely different story. With all the different modulus graphite fibers we have, we can start going lighter. Now, currently, a lot of the lightweight shafts are made with very, very stiff graphite fibers to get the stiffness up. The problem is those aren't always the most durable fibers. So while we can make a 30 gram shaft that might be good for a slower swing speed, making a 30 gram shaft that's low torque and very stiff for a tour type swing, that shaft probably is not gonna stay in one piece. And as we all know, the first lesson of graphite shaft design is make sure the shaft stays in one piece. Stay tuned for more answers to your questions.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.